Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Welcome back. It's the 11 o'clock hour of the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's here on 104.5 The Zone. Chad Withrow, Paul Kuharski with you for the rest of the day. Jonathan Hutton about to board a plane, head up to Pittsburgh. May or may not eat a sandwich with fries in the sandwich, which, by the way, to me, one of the most overrated things in the world.
I could
take fries on my side, and I can put it on a sandwich, and I've got this Pittsburgh specialty.
I understand that conceptually you don't think it's a big deal, but have you eaten it?
Yes.
Because it tastes like magic.
It tastes like I'm eating too much at once. I'd rather eat the sandwich than have a fry and dip it in something.
I think that they have police at Primanti Brothers that if they see somebody taking the fries off the sandwich, they arrest you, and they drag you out in cuffs, and they put you in a stockade. They shame you. The way we should be shaming box blockers.
I think it's terribly overrated. Clay Travis from Outkick the Coverage is with us right now. We can ask Clay his perspective on this. Clay, the Primanti Brothers Pittsburgh-style sandwich with fries in the sandwich, is it overrated like I said?
Yeah, I had one of these when I went up to the U.S. Open a couple of years ago, and I was just like, I'm not that much into it.
You needed to drink more before that, I'd say.
Like, usually I would take the perspective of, okay, fries good, sandwich good, put them together good. But to me, fries and the sandwich are better separate.
I think you were both sober when you were having this. This is a late night, sober up kind of meal that maybe requires a six pack beforehand.
Could have been our mistake. Clay, did it appear that the Ohio State powers that be were sober in that press conference they conducted the other night?
You know, I thought that everything surrounding that Ohio State story was an embarrassment to Ohio State. And look, we have always known, anybody who covers college athletics or plays much attention to it at all, that Urban Meyer is a liar, right? I think Urban Meyer is a congenital liar. I think the only way to know that he is lying is because his lips are moving, right? I mean, I think, you know, from when he was at Florida and he would argue, and I think he believed it, we're only going to recruit the top 1% of 1%. He's got 31 guys arrested. He, you know, is playing Aaron Hernandez, despite the fact that Aaron Hernandez is a one-man wrecking crew before he even was, you know, obviously guilty of serial murder. It appears that he probably shot people, may have stabbed them while he was at Florida, if you go and read everything about the allegations against Aaron Hernandez. So the idea that Urban Meyer is this holier-than-thou saint in a world of college football centers has always been intensely hypocritical to me. So on some level, the Urban Meyer angle to this story did not surprise me at all. What surprises me still is that members of the Ohio State Board of Trustees, their job is to make sure that no one person ever derails the mission of a large educational institution like Ohio State. They are there for their judgment. They're there because Ohio State has decided the best people to make complex and difficult decisions for the university. And they read this 23-page report and thought, you know what, all we need to do is suspend Urban Meyer for 3 games. I think 99.9% of all employees, no matter what they do, if what was alleged against them was alleged against Urban Meyer, and if there were as many lies that they were caught in that report, I think they would be fired. And Ohio State sent a message, and I think this is funny because Ohio State fans always like to say, all the SEC cares about is winning. This is far and away an insane decision to me by the Ohio State Board of Trustees and everyone else who is educated and intelligent at Ohio State to allow this to happen.
Clay, I almost feel like when I was watching it and then really thinking about it the day after that this was the worst possible conclusion for Ohio State in the eyes of everyone else, I almost would have been more okay with no suspension and a legitimately contrite Urban Meyer and Gene Smith where they looked like they were legitimately sorry for the mistakes that they made and were ready to move forward. And we didn't get any of that. We got this half-hearted in-between suspension and then Urban Meyer appearing to be a petulant child that was being forced to apologize. I thought that was a bad part of it. Also, what do you think about if Urban Meyer showed actual contrition, would that have changed your opinion?
No, because to me, when you read that report, there are at least three major lies that Urban Meyer is caught in, all of which I think are significant. The first one is Urban Meyer hired Zach Smith despite the fact he knew he had been arrested for domestic violence. Okay, he makes that decision. In 2015, Ohio State AD Gene Smith and Urban Meyer become aware of another investigation into domestic violence. Urban Meyer never shares the fact that Zach Smith was arrested at Florida. To me, that is massive. That is probably the single most important bit of information that Urban Meyer has at that moment in time, because the way Gene Smith looks at this Zach Smith incident, to me, is going to be different if you know a guy has already been arrested once for this incident in the past. It's not the first time offense. It's not he said, she said at that point in time. To me, the number of times, just like anything else, the more accusers you have, the more likely there is to be some truth to it. So that, I thought, was a ridiculous part of this. Urban Meyer then blames his memory for not being able to answer questions correctly at Big Ten Media Days, despite the fact that he has regularly praised his memory in the past, saying he remembers every play from the Alabama and Florida SEC championship games. And this is funny and interesting. He also tries to delete all of his text messages that are over a year old. That's his immediate response when he sees that story that comes out from Brett McMurphy. To me, when you hear all those things, by the way, it's amazing that his memory worked so well that he knew he didn't want his old text messages to be found.
Selective.
But his memory didn't work well enough for him to answer questions in a press conference about it.
Selective bad memory.
Yes, very selective.
And Brett McMurphy said on 3HL, the timing of that was 1 minute after his story came out. So
yeah,
they
look,
were all
I mean,
over.
When your reaction is, when a story comes out that paints you in a negative fashion, your reaction is, we got to make sure that all my text messages are deleted so there's no evidence of this. To me, that is a pretty good signpost that what your behavior has been beyond the pale. Here's the other thing, and I've been on this for a long time. Why in the world did he keep Zach Smith employed? I think Zach Smith has something on Urban Meyer that is devastating. I don't know what it is. That's my opinion. I don't understand otherwise. Like you said, well, he's Earl Bruce's grandson. Get out of here. You can't tell me that with all of this evidence about Zach Smith, and also the fact that he's not that good of a coach. You know, it's not like we're talking about the greatest offensive or defensive.
Also, let's face it, it appears that Urban Meyer's not human, the way he interacts with people and the way he reacts to people. It just seems very anti-Urban Meyer that he's listening to his heart to hold on to the grandson of Earl Bruce. There's something else
up
Grinch
there. The Grinch found his heart.
Yeah, there's something else out there. I don't know what it is. Maybe it will come out eventually, but to me, I think that Urban Meyer is, he's Urban Liar to me. He has been for a long time. But the most unbelievable part of this, so far as I'm concerned, is that educated, intelligent people who've been put on a board of trustees for their judgment could read that report and make the decision. This is the forward-facing face of our franchise that we want of our university. And we're going to stick with him. I just think that's beyond the pale.
Clay Travis from Outkick the Coverage on with us for one more segment. And, Paul, I think you had another question about the Ohio State situation.
Yeah, they want to act like they face the music in Columbus, but they have a press conference, and then they pass out the report, which produces, you know, a dozen questions that people don't get to ask because they didn't have the courage to pass out the report first. What do you think of that PR strategy?
I think it's a joke. And I also think, and you know this, that so many people who are in those press conferences are there to basically genuflect at the altar of major college athletics, i.e. they're huge fans, and they're not going to ask tough questions, which, I mean, I almost threw my remote at the television when I was watching this thing live, and some guy stood up and said, Urban, what would you tell the team? How hard has it been for you not to be with the team? What's your message? Like, of all the things you could ask in a press conference like that, what's your message for the team is like the most quintessential, Homer media question that could be asked. I've always said, and this has been a statement of mine for a long time, I think in complicated stories like these, you need to deputize the most intelligent member of your overall media scrum and have him ask 20 straight questions, right? Like it's as if it's a deposition. This is my opinion. The way to get the best answers.
You turn it into like a Frost-Nixon situation.
Yeah.
That would be
great. You find the greatest, whoever the best question asker, most well-known in terms of like knowing all the information, right? And everybody else in the press conference sits quietly and lets that person ask every question so they can follow up, so they can logically kind of follow chronologically. You know, when you do an interview, one of the things you learn is it's very difficult for people to follow if you're jumping around from one subject to another. So I would have liked to have seen somebody say, okay, let's start right at the beginning. Urban Meyer, first question for you, you know, chronologically. Why did you decide to hire Zach Smith, even though you knew he'd been arrested for domestic violence when he was coaching with you at Florida? Get Urban Meyer's response there. Okay, Urban, when you made the decision to hire Zach Smith based on that justification you just gave us, why did you not tell Gene Smith about that decision and nobody else at Ohio State either? Were you trying to hide the fact that he had been arrested for domestic violence because you believed that might not allow him to be hired? Why didn't you share the full information about this coach that you had? Okay. Urban, why did you tell, you know, in 2015 that Zach Smith is being investigated for domestic violence? That's a serious accusation. That's a serious allegation of criminal misconduct. You knew that he had already been arrested for this same issue years ago with the same woman. Don't you think that's highly relevant information that you had an obligation to share, given the fact that you're looking into whether or not this allegation is true or not? Like, just follow it right down the list. I mean, I could have made 20 straight questions that I would want to ask. Now, this presumes they had been able to read the report, but even still, those are the kind of questions I would have asked. I would have asked all three of those questions off the jump before I even read the report. So that's always been frustrating to me, is that you got some guy who might have an IQ of 150 asking a question, and he gets followed up by a guy who has an IQ of 75, right?
Yeah, the dude from Bucknuts.com is asking the question about the team.
Bucknuts is going to be like, Urban, I feel so bad for you. I can't believe that somebody would say bad things about you, Urban. Right now, can I get you a water? Can I get you a coffee? Let me ask you this.
Here's a towel.
What message do you have for the team, Urban? You know, I mean, these guys just drive me insane that they are considered to be legitimate news media members. I understand. Look, a lot of times it doesn't matter, right? You just played Rutgers. It doesn't really matter what the questions that are going to be asked are. And I've been in so many of these press conferences and just sat back and rolled my eyes at the questions that are being asked, but they really don't matter, right? Nobody's going to read an article about Rutgers. Everybody watched the game, whatever. But when you have a legitimate criminal inquiry on some level here, or a significant cultural event that's facing a university, I think you need the reporters who ask the questions to be intelligent enough to understand the gravity of the situation.
By the way, Bucknuts.com, an actual website. I didn't make that up. So, Clay, I also found it interesting that the one good question in the press conference was the direct question about what would you tell Courtney Smith?
Yeah.
And that was maybe the worst answer from Urban Meyer, the one that made him look the worst in the entire press conference. But if you noticed, whoever the media relations person was for Ohio State, right after that answer said, okay, guys, one more question.
Yeah.
Because they probably knew that the questions were going to start getting tougher at that point.
Yeah, and look, I think that that Ohio State, just in general, as a university, should be ashamed of itself, because what you hear all the time is the university is always bigger than any one individual. And I think in this circumstance, we saw that Urban Meyer is bigger than Ohio State. I think that's the biggest takeaway I had, because but for his success winning football games, he would have been fired. I don't think there's any doubt. And I think all of the evidence there, not just that would have supported him being fired, but Ohio State would have owed him no more money. They had ample reason to fire him for cause. And for people out there who are like, well, what's the difference between for cause and without cause? You may think it's cause if a guy loses a lot of football games, but that's kind of the risk of the profession. You would still get paid all the money that was owed to you if you didn't have a lot of success. For instance, you know, Derek Dooley is getting paid all of the money that was owed to him under his contract at Tennessee because he just didn't win enough football games. But if you get fired for cause, then that means that you have violated the terms of your contract, which I don't think there's any doubt Urban Meyer did. And so not only could Ohio State have fired him, they could have fired him and not owed him a penny.
Odds, based on what we were talking about, with Zach Smith probably having more, probably not feeling great about things right now, with Brett McMurphy as in as he is, something else comes out, What are your odds that Urban Meyer finishes this season as the head football coach at Ohio State?
It's a really good question, and I think a lot of that has to do with what the response is going to continue to be. I mean, I think there's been a lot of people who reacted as we did to that press conference and to the report. I think that there's an important, you know, kind of milestone you can point to here. Remember Jim Tressel, before he got fired, initially got suspended for 2 games. And Ohio State had a big press conference, and E. Gordon Gee was the president of Ohio State at the time, and they said, did you ever think about firing Jim Tressel? And Gee, who obviously was also the president of Vanderbilt for a time, so a lot of people in Nashville will be familiar with him, kind of tried to issue this jocular, funny statement, and he said, fire Jim Tressel? I just hope he doesn't fire me. And I think he was trying to be funny.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
that's a great one.
He was trying to be funny, but his answer sent the message that Jim Tressel was bigger than Ohio State. But the end result was Jim Tressel ended up getting fired. And so I think there are a lot of people digging into the Urban Meyer situation at Ohio State. I think he has been proven to be a liar in many of the details that came out in this investigation. I also think that all the people who were members of this quote-unquote independent investigation should be ashamed of themselves. When you start off your analysis by saying, well, we believe that he wasn't truthful, but he didn't deliberately lie, I'm sorry, I've lost all respect for you at that point.
It's really tough to continue after that with that statement.
Yeah, I mean, try that with your wife. Yes. I was not truthful, but it's important to note here that I wasn't deliberately lying. There's no such thing as a deliberate lie, right? Like, if you are proven to be a liar, then you lied. You don't, like, your intent.
Intent doesn't matter at all.
Yeah. Well, your intent even only matters if you don't actually know the truth, right? That's, to me, really funny. Like, Urban Meyer knew all of the truth here. And so, once you know all the truth, if you don't share that truth, then you are lying. And so, the idea of a deliberate lie in this context, it doesn't even make sense.
Clay, I want to get your perspective on this. We had this discussion yesterday. Travis Haney now with The Athletic. They hire Adam Vingden. They've got an Athletic Nashville branch now, John Glennon. And we were talking about The Athletic. We like it. We like, you know, sports-specific writing, more long-form stuff. But it's a very ambitious plan by The Athletic with all the writers that they're hiring. And we kind of posed the question of, if this does not work out, what does that tell us about the modern-day sports fan and what they really want from sports media?
Well, I don't even think it's just sports media. I think if you went back in time, the newspapers blew their entire business model by giving away everything on the internet for free. Because the initial justification they had was, we're going to be able to make the money back through web ads and everything else. Our readership will just move online. We won't have all the cost of print and delivery and everything else, and so the business model will survive. That was not true. And what I think is challenging, I think about it now in the context of podcasts, for instance, for what I do. I wonder, like, there's a lot of podcasts out there, and they're almost all free, and they're almost all ad-supported. Well, are we encouraging, this is something I think everybody in our industry has to think, are we encouraging people to listen to the entire podcast without commercials at the convenience of whenever they want to listen to it, as opposed to listening to live radio, which is the lifeblood of how people make money in our industry, right? And so, and I wonder a little bit, are we giving away in the same way that newspapers did all of our content, which costs money to produce, and not charging for it? Like, in theory, being able to read a newspaper article on the internet is more convenient than having to go buy a newspaper. Most of what people pay for, if you really strip it down, is convenience. The reason why I pay for valet parking as opposed to parking on my own is because it's more convenient for me to pull up and hand my keys to the valet, and it costs me $5 or whatever. Well, if we're just handing them the podcast, like, to me, the podcast is like valet parking. Instead of having to go park yourself, be in your car, listen to it live, we're not charging for it, right? We're doing it the opposite way. So The Athletic is an interesting business model, right? I'm sure right now they're raising money with the idea of, hey, all we need to do is get 200,000 subscribers, and then we're going to make money hand over fist, or whatever that number is. And the way we're going to get that number is by adding all this great content. Here's our business model. Let's follow it. My question is just, and it's a basic question, how many people are going to subscribe to The Athletic? Right? And I don't have any idea what that answer is.
And that's what they're banking on, that these writers they're hiring, they're going to bring subscribers to the platform.
Yeah, and I get it. Look, we have a VIP section of Outkick. I know Paul sells things. Like, when you provide content, the hope is that people are going to pay for it. I don't know what percentage of people are going to pay for written content if it's not something that they can, if it's something they can find elsewhere. And I think that's a big challenge in general. Anytime you sell a product, what's the market for this product? How many people are going to sign up? How many people are going to continue? Look, Shannon Terry has proven with Rivals and 24/7 that there is a diehard market for recruiting people, right? Now, it's a pinprick of the overall fan base, but there's 5,000 or 6,000 people who love Tennessee athletics that are going to pay $100 a year to make sure that they know the latest on recruits, on information internally. They're providing a service. It's almost all recruiting-based, but they're providing a service that it's hard to get information for elsewhere. I'm not sure what the secret sauce, so to speak, for the athletic is that they're providing that I'm not hearing from other people. I think if you pay attention to the business model of the 24/7 and Rivals, there's no way that recruiting gets covered aggressively in the newspaper in the same way that it does on those websites. So there's a demand for that and an interest in that. I'm not sure what the secret sauce, so to speak, of the athletic is to make me come off my wallet and be willing to pay $70 or $100. And I think the same thing is true, by the way, for ESPN Plus. There's a lot of this premium, you know, subscription-based model that everybody wants to follow now. And I think it ultimately comes down to a simple question that doesn't have an easy answer. Am I selling something that there is a big demand for?
Clay Travis with us every Friday, 11 to 11:30. Brought to you by the home loan expert, Ryan Kelly. And Clay, I know Ryan Kelly, a mutual friend of ours, does great work with his business and also out in the community.
Yeah, look, if you live in Nashville as I do, you know how crazy the housing market has been. So there's a couple of things right now that I can tell you that the home loan expert and Ryan Kelly can take care of. You go to their website, they can get you pre-qualified in 24 hours. So if you're in the business of going out and shopping for a house and you don't know how much money you're going to need, instead of having to go get your mortgage after you find a house that you love, you should be pre-qualified. Go to thehomeloanexpert.com, and they may be able to get you pre-qualified before close of business today. So you go out and look at houses with your wife and your family this weekend, you're hooked up. The other thing is, we're fortunate in Nashville that our housing prices have been going up substantially. A lot of you, though, have been in the situation I've been in before, where you walk down to your mailbox, you know you're going to get a credit card bill, and you don't have the money to pay it. If you own your home and you've got financial equity, you got home equity, your value of your home is increased, Ryan Kelly can wipe out all of your credit card debt in one fell swoop, take that stress out of you, take that 20%+ interest off the table, and get you a great new mortgage rate. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. Get him hooked up today. And by the way, Outkick is now on from 5 to 6 a.m., I believe, on The Zone.
It is indeed.
Mark's hosting this week.
Yes.
So for people who are early risers, you know, you can listen to the first hour of my national radio show now on The Zone.
Absolutely. Clay, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you again next Friday.
Hey, appreciate y'all having me. Thanks a lot.